make it, do it. Makes us honor, better, faster, stronger.
Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right. Comes back to the left. Going long for Gordon. He's out there. And he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5. Touchdown!
Well, unbelievable catch. Unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily. Driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap. Dalton back. Looking near side. Throws it. Picked off. And an open run. It's Joe Hayden. And he's in. Touchdown.
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura.
Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura of Football Friday. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Got a whole lot to bring your way today. We've got a good show, a stack show. We are going to talk in the course of the show with, we're going to have a recap of our interview with Pat Kerwin yesterday, because he threw out a lot of great thoughts about quarterbacks, sitting down with Phil Simms. Some real deep analysis of the quarterback prospects in this draft. Worth another listen, and we'll comment on it, Nathan and I, today. We're going to have Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network join us at 1:30. We will get more national perspective on the Browns and on what's going on with the rest of the National Football League. Don Banks from Sports Illustrated joining us at 2 p.m. And then an interview that Nathan conducted with wide receiver Josh Gordon. We'll have that on the show in a little bit, too. So the breaking news out there is, and again, I'm going to use the word breaking kind of loosely. We know this is coming. We had all sorts of reports regarding the Jacksonville Jaguars presenting an offer sheet to Alex Mack. Well, Adam Schefter of ESPN now says that, and he tweeted this a short while ago, that Alex Mack's offer sheet from the Jags is worth, it would pay him $10 million this season, $8 million in the final four seasons thereafter of a five-year deal. In all, this is called a $42 million deal with $26 million of guaranteed money. Again, according to Adam Schefter of ESPN, saying it is 5 days from today now that the Browns have to match. It's not business day, so it's today. It's through the weekend counts as well, and then we would be talking about Tuesday, and I believe it's Tuesday at 4:30 Eastern time, p.m. Eastern time, when the Browns would have to make a decision on whether or not to match. Do I have that right, Casey? I'm sorry, Wednesday. Okay, Wednesday at 4:30 is the match time. And joining me now, I think we got him up technically here, is our buddy Nathan Zagura. Hey, pal.
Notorious. Good to be back with you. How you doing?
Missed you, yes. And I said, geez, you know, after a couple of days, we still had to wait for you, but we got you back.
That's right. Well, we were here. You know, a few technical issues, that have been worked through, but obviously very excited to be back and on what is certainly somewhat a newsworthy day here for the Cleveland Browns, as Alex Mack has signed his offer sheet with the Jaguars, reportedly 5 years, $42 million. $10 million in year one, $18 million in year two, $26 million in year three, with the player option to void after year two. To me, Vic, and I don't know if you've touched on this yet, but if those truly are the numbers, and right now those are the reported, it's been signed, so we should know.
Right.
It makes sense to me that the Browns would match that.
I'm with you 100%. I think that is a matchable deal for the Browns, and I'm not bothered if there is this escape clause after the 2015 season. I'm not bothered by that, because we discussed this yesterday with Jim Donovan on the show. Everything the Browns have done, Nathan, in all their moves this offseason, or their predominant moves this offseason in free agency, are built around this two-year window of immediacy.
Yes. And to me as well, on top of that, let's just say that the top of the market for a center is $8 million a year. Okay, and that the Browns, when they went out there and they made that hardcore sell to him, were probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $7.5 to $8.5 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just using hypotheticals
right,
again.
Right.
If that's the case, you were looking at anywhere between 15 and 17 guaranteed over the first 2 years anyway. So this is just 18. So in a worst case scenario, you're looking at an extra $3 million over 2 years at a time when the Browns have that money to spend. And quite frankly, had they gone down the transition road at 10, and let's say they wanted to franchise him the next year, that now we're talking $22 million. So it's really not that crazy of a deal. And if Alex Mack decides, hey, I like this thing, now you've got him locked up for 5 years. The salary cap, as we know, is going to continue to go up and up, and $8 million in 3 years might not be $8 million as it is today in relation to the overall salary cap. And I don't think it's a bad deal. He's a perfect fit for what Kyle Shanahan wants to do. In fact, when I saw the numbers, I was actually kind of surprised about it. I was surprised at how reasonable what they put together was. And I almost had the thought that maybe there was some, you know, negotiating ploy to say that he didn't want to be in Cleveland to try to drive things up with Jacksonville. And then late, after you heard the first reports, it was like, oh, you'd be thrilled to play in Cleveland. He doesn't sign this deal, in my opinion, unless he thinks it is at least, I would say, a 75% chance he's playing it out as a member of the Cleveland Browns.
I concur wholeheartedly. I think Alex Mack had to play his games, the negotiating games, in the course of this, and so has his agent. And again, this is assuming a lot. I'm jumping into the head of somebody else. But honestly, when you look at it from the outside, when you put numbers together, when you put the structure together, when you put all the comments together that you've heard from Alex Mack's teammates, especially Joe Thomas, and that their extreme optimism was expressed about him returning, all of that to me says he's coming back, and he did what the Browns basically said, okay, this is the next best thing to us working out our own deal together. You go work one out for yourself with somebody else. They'll do the negotiating. We'll match it, and that'll become our deal. And I think that was where this was always going to go. I think Alex Mack, in the back of his mind, had to always think that way. And you're right. What he says, how he postures himself to each organization has to be different. And you want the Jags to feel that they're not a pawn in this thing, but I think they go into it with eyes wide open that sometimes you're a pawn in these match deals. And that's kind of what they were. They set the table basically for him, I think, to return to the Browns. This presumes that the Browns will match this. And yes, it's easy for me to say this is not my money that's being spent, but I think it's a very matchable deal.
It seems on surface, again, it seems like a very matchable deal. And when you break it down over 3 years of what you would imagine the Browns were willing to pay him, you know, it's not that far off. It is a small premium that they are going to end up paying, and it would have ended up not being that much of a premium had they had to go through with the transition tag and maybe decide something after that. Plus, if he wants out, Alex Mack, if he wants out at the age of 31 in 2 years, you've had elite level center play for 2 seasons. You'll have plenty of time to put a succession plan in place to replace him. And I think overall this deal's a win-win for the Browns. I mean, I think people were worried about maybe it being north of $20 million guaranteed over the first 2 seasons, which maybe changes the way you look at it. But at 18 over the first two, again, this is what is being reported, 26 over three, it's not backbreakingly off from what you would have wanted in an ideal scenario, even if you're a 7.5 a year.
And if you're the Browns, you have to approach this with the sense of optimism that you are going to be a much better football team in 2014 than you were, and even better than that a year later. In other words, through these first 2 years of Alex Mack's contract, he will be part of success that he's not experienced in a while, and they've got to have faith in that. I'm not making a prediction that this is what will happen in terms of the team's success, but I'm talking about the psychological approach. Ray Farmer, Mike Pettin, Jimmy Haslam, Alex Shiner, everybody involved in the hierarchy of this football team, Sashi Brown, everybody has to go in with a collective mentality that we've got something that's going to work, that's going to be good, and that this guy, if he's been understandably reluctant and has trepidation about what the future may hold because of all the turmoil in the time that he's been a Cleveland Brown, he's going to see something different, we're going to have something different, and he's going to embrace this.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. And I think, like I said, it buys you that time. I think you could possibly, if you wanted to, even restructure. But I don't even know that you need to if you get what you want out of Alex Mack. It is a premium, yes, but it is not such an egregious premium that it takes the Browns out of the discussion on it, in my opinion. And I tell you what, I totally, as I've said all along, the perception was being put out there that Alex Mack didn't want to play with the Browns. That's the last time I was able to talk about it on Tuesday.
Right.
Now it's, you know, the narrative is being kind of somewhat changed, leaked through other people that, no, Alex Mack would be thrilled to play with the Cleveland, play this particular contract out with the Cleveland Browns. So when you, I don't know what he truly thinks. Like I said, all along, he had absolutely every right to explore his options and get as much money as he can. It's a violent game that can end at any moment for a particular player. Only the guaranteed money is guaranteed, and that's it. So for me, Alex Mack doing what he did, the agent is always the bad guy. As you know, in any kind of a situation where you're negotiating, the agent is your bad guy.
Yep.
And I think Marv Demoff was the bad guy here in the way that Alex Mack wanted him to be to get him the best deal. And if this ends up being the best deal that he could have gotten, then he did what he was supposed to do. And it looks to me like a scenario is in place where Alex Mack can absolutely sign this contract, come back to the Browns. The Browns can be happy with it. Maybe it's a little more than they would have perhaps paid him. But at the same time, is it incrementally so much more that it's a game changer? I don't think so.
Well, and here's the other thing to look at. Under the league rules, as I understand this, did a little research. So in matching this deal, the Browns and Alex Mack live by the terms of this deal for 1 year. There is the option after the 2014 season that they could renegotiate. But for year one, for the full, it's called the league year, the league calendar year, that contract has to be exactly as it's been put together between Alex Mack and the Jacksonville Jaguars. But after that, when you get into 2015, they can restructure this. And I would not rule that out. I
right.
think that's quite possible if, in fact, you've got a guy in Alex Mack who is going to know, we're all going to know, after the 2014 season, if everyone should feel a buy-in to what's going on.
Right.
We can judge it by the product. We can judge it by what we see on the field. And what we expect to see is improvement. What we believe, looking at it on paper, is that this team's already gotten better in free agency. Now let's see what they do in the draft. Let's see how everything fits. Let's see how all the many questions we have about this team play out. But if it's the way they intend it to be, they being Farmer, Pettin, and company, and what they know is a clock ticking on basically a short window to get good, and if it's as good as they plan it to be, then Alex Mack is going to see that, and I would think he, his representative, will be open to have that discussion on a structure that indeed keeps him in a Browns uniform for a long time.
Couldn't agree more. And also, things coming in about this, he cannot be traded, he cannot be tagged again, and like we said, he could walk away in 2 years. But really, as you just pointed out, you're obligated to the terms of this deal exclusively for the first season, which is basically exactly what they would have been paying him under the transition tag.
Yep. So the money, right, and when you do that math, if it were no deal with the Jags or anyone else, and him playing for that 1 year transition tag money of $10 million plus for this year, and then they could turn around and tag him again next year, you'd be talking about 22 odd million or
right,
so in tag. So it's more money.
Right.
It's more money than the Browns are on the hook to pay him. But look, this is about being economically feasible, if that's the right way to put it, when you're dealing with millions. But it's being somewhat responsible. Is this pushing the envelope? Is it making it a little tighter from the Browns' standpoint to deal with other contracts? Yes, I think it is. But I say you have to make this happen. You have to make this match happen for this reason. Show me a good football team, Nathan. Show me any good football team in this league that does not have a really good, outstanding center. You don't get away with mediocrity or poor play at that position and be a strong team. Strong teams have strong centers. Go through the lists of playoff clubs, of clubs that contend, and they all have that in common. I mean, they have other things, but you can't get there with that being a weak link. That has to be your anchor player. That has to be a substantial force within your offense. And Alex Mack means that to the Browns.
He certainly does, and it also would be a sign, even though it took a very circuitous route to get there, that this team is committed to rewarding its own developed players, the players that it develops themselves. That would be a sign saying, listen, we couldn't get it done. You went out and got this offer. Maybe it's a little bit more than I would have guessed. He wouldn't have signed it if it wasn't a little more than what the Browns were offering initially. But at the end of the day, it's not so much more that it seems outrageous, and it gives an opportunity to lock in a very, very talented player, arguably the best center in the National Football League, a guy whose movement and skill set absolutely fits in perfectly with what Kyle Shanahan wants to do on his offensive line. And I think it could be a very much a win-win. The Browns have basically until the end of the night on Wednesday, 11:59 p.m. on Wednesday, to match this offer sheet for Alex Mack. And it'll be an interesting few days. I don't know if it takes the whole time. I have no sense of that, if whichever way they want to go, if it'll take time or if it'll be something that could be done as early as today. I have no sense of that. Do you have a sense of that, Vic, when the Browns would make that decision?
I don't. What I was hearing initially was it wouldn't take long. What I was hearing initially was that they would try to do this relatively quickly, that they were fully expecting this by the end of this week. We'll find out if any of that changes. And I'm glad you've got this updated now, because the information's trickling in literally as we've gone on air here. But it is Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, that is the end of those 5 days. And just to be clear, I think, as I had said an earlier time, but 11:59 on Wednesday p.m., so before the clock strikes midnight, this has to be done. I don't think they take it down to that. I don't think, similar to, say, what the Bengals were doing relative to the Browns making the offer to Andrew Hawkins. The Bengals were relatively quick with that decision, although, you know, things were dragging on a little bit, and it was a little back and forth happening, and ultimately the Bengals said they weren't going to match. I don't see the Browns doing that. And furthermore, if their plan is to match this, which you and I think it is, and we think it makes sense, you're making a statement by matching this deal. You're making a big statement, not just to the fan base about how serious you are to build this team into a winner right away, but to your players, to everybody in that locker room who you're selling a program to. This is selling week going on here. Players came in on Monday to begin their off-season conditioning program, to meet with coaches, to get a handle on what Mike Pettine's thing is all about. And that's what they've spent, the ones who have been on hand, that's what they've spent the past 4 days doing, and fifth day today doing. Well, you can't make any louder statement than this, than turning right around and matching this deal and telling the rest of the team, we value really good players.
And not only that, I think that it ultimately, when you look at it, and this is obviously predicated on the Browns matching, but I think you can say right now that what the Browns did ultimately proved to be very, very intelligent in their use of the transition tag versus the use of the franchise tag. If you had franchised Alex Mack, you would right now be having on the hook for about $12 million to Alex Mack for the 2014 season, with absolutely no guarantee of a long-term deal or a second year on that deal, number one. And number two, there would have been no offer made to him, because nobody would have done that and then given up the two first-round picks in compensation. So by opening it up this way, you've saved $2 million this year. And think about it. If you'd franchised Alex Mack and paid him the $12 million in 2014, to get to $18 million guaranteed over 2 years means he would have only gotten six guaranteed in 2015. That wasn't going to happen. So even if they had restructured and renegotiated a deal, that probably wasn't going to happen.
Correct.
So in many ways, economically, this played out for the Browns, short of Alex Mack accepting the deal when they flew to him with the whole contingent, and we know about. Short of him accepting that deal, I think ultimately financially, by transition as opposed to franchising him, the Browns are going to have saved money in the long run on this move.
There's no doubt it was a shrewd business maneuver on their part, yet still a high-end expenditure for the position of center. We've heard any number of people weigh in and say, hey, that's a lot of money you're paying for a center. Yeah, okay, but you're paying it to a top-flight center, and as I said, you have to have that guy on your football team to be successful. And one other point here, there's the thing they counted on, Nathan, as we both know, is the threshold of payment for that position. Jacksonville has a salary structure to think about, too. You know, you hear about the salary cap that the league has for all its teams, but teams have internal caps. Teams have internal structure, and there's only so much you pay players at certain positions. Clearly, the Jaguars maxed it out for the center position within their program because, like the Browns, they're trying to make a statement that they're doing things right, and this would have been a huge move for them. And it still might be if the Browns weren't to match, but we are going on the premise that they're matching, that they're not going to get Alex Mack there, but it's the Browns that did so. And I think in both cases, you had two franchises, you know, weighing the various pluses and minuses of spending that kind of money for a center. Again, we think the right thing to do is match, put this thing to rest, and we don't have to talk about it anymore. We've got a lot of other things, though, that we are going to talk about. We want to hear from you, 216 216- 578-0850, 216-578-0850. So we want to hear what you would do. You're the GM of the Browns. You run the Browns. Would you match this offer? Weigh in with that. Tweet us at Browns_daily. And again, a lot of comments are coming out about the quarterbacks in this draft. And very strong comments we heard from Pat Kerwin yesterday. So if you were about the college prospects, if you were Ray Farmer, what would you do at pick four? Would you take a quarterback? Would you take a different position player? Would you trade down with a team? Get extra picks and take your chances that a quarterback's going to be available later on. These are among the topics we want to hear from you. 216-578-0850. He is Nathan Zagura. He's back. I'm Vic Carucci. This is a Football Friday on CBD.